is an incredible truth to declare on this Easter morning. There is no name, none more powerful, none more beautiful than the name of Jesus. And it is Jesus that we worship today because he is the one who once and for all beat sin, death, hell, and the grave. And because of his resurrection, the scripture says that God has highly exalted him, Philippians chapter 2, and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you have any questions about what Easter is all about, or perhaps you're visiting our church for the first time, want to know what Champion Forest is all about, in one word, what Easter is about, what Champion Forest is about, we are all about Jesus. He's the reason that we gather and worship each week. He's the one that we serve and the one that we aim to please. He is the one that we hold high and exalt. It is all about Jesus. That's why we are starting a brand new series today that we're calling Jesus on Fill in the Blank. And the subtitle is The Only Perspective That Matters. We live in a world driven by social media where anyone can air their opinion about anything. From Princess Kate's video announcement of her cancer diagnosis, is it AI or is it not? To whether or not Beyonce should be accepted into country music. Should she not? To what on earth do the Astros have to do to get back to the World Series this year? We all have our opinions. We like sharing our perspectives on whatever it is that may be going around us in any given moment. I came across a couple of quotes this week regarding the sharing of opinions I thought that you may enjoy. I don't know who said some of these, but I can relate to them for sure. The first one is this: you have the right to your opinion, and I have the right to think you're an idiot. Here's one. Too often we enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. I think that's attributed to John F. Kennedy. Here's another one. Of all of your opinions, the one that I value the most is the one you keep to yourself. When it comes to just about every subject in life, all of us have thoughts, all of us have opinions, all of us have perspectives. But for the Christian, and I would even say for the non-Christian, the opinion and the perspective that matters most is what does Jesus say about it? It's not about what we think. It's not about what we feel. It's not about our own opinions and perspectives. What matters most about any given subject is what does Jesus say about it? And so on a day like this, it's perfect to talk about, and this is the title of the message today, Jesus on Life. You know, just as suffering and Good Friday are synonymous, so too is life and Easter. It's, of course, springtime, and you can't drive around without seeing the flowers blooming and seeing the trees coming back to life. Now, the pollen's just about killing some of us, but just the sign that it's there represents life is here. Easter's about resurrection. We're celebrating today that which was dead, Jesus, was brought back to life. Easter and life, they go together like peanut butter and jelly, all right? Like country music and the king of country, George Strait. Like Houston and the rodeo, they go together like the Dallas Cowboys and failure and disappointment. They just go together. You read the Gospels, and you'll see that Jesus was all about life. In fact, in John's Gospel alone, the word life is mentioned more than 35 times. And the mass majority of the times that it's mentioned, it's Jesus speaking of himself or his life-giving ministry. And so as we begin this Easter message today, I want you to take note first that Jesus is life. Life is a title that Jesus took on when we were singing just a moment ago, lifting up the name of Jesus. If you noticed in the background on the screen behind me, we had different names of Jesus. And one of the names that Jesus ascribes to and referred to himself as life on one occasion. One of his dear friends, a man by the name of Lazarus, had died. And Jesus attends the funeral and he sees the family members of Lazarus mourning. They're sad, they're broken over their friend and brother Lazarus who had died. And this is where the scripture says Jesus wept. He saw this and he was moved by it. And it was in this moment, John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he raised Lazarus from the dead. And just a point of interest here, as you read your Bibles, there are three accounts in the Gospels of Jesus going by, passing by, attending a funeral. And in every single instance, four if you include his own, he broke up the funeral. He raised that which is dead back to life. And Jesus could bring the dead back to life because he was life. It's one of his names before he was arrested and betrayed. Jesus shared that Last Supper with his disciples, and he was speaking to them and told them that he was about to go away. Now, the disciples, they couldn't wrap their mind around this. That discouraged them. I mean, with Jesus, they were untouchable. Just a few days earlier, they had come into the city of Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna. With Jesus, there was acclaim, and there was acclamation, and there was all sorts of just incredible ways that couldn't be touched when Jesus was with them. And now he says, "I'm leaving?" And they were discouraged by that. And it's at that point Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now that's quite a claim. That no one can get to God except through you. You make this kind of claim, you better be able to back it up. I mean, I can claim all day long that I can sing like Darrell. Dance like him too, all right? I can claim that all day long. I mean, you ought to hear me in my car. But if I'm forced to prove that, I will be proved a fraud very, very quickly. I can't back up that claim. Well, Jesus, he is the very source of life, and he was able to back up the claim that he is life because of his own resurrection. C.S. Lewis was a professor of English literature at both Oxford and Cambridge. He wrote more than 30 books, was well known as a Christian philosopher and apologist. You probably know him best from his fictional series, The Chronicles of Narnia. He was brilliant, a creative genius. One of his more popular books is called Mere Christianity, and it's a collection of talks that he gave in the early 40s on BBC radio. And these talks are all centered around the reasons that he became a follower of Christ. See, C.S. Lewis wasn't always a follower of Jesus. In fact, he was an atheist up until his early 30s. And it was through conversations with J.R.R. Tolkien, yes, Lord of the Ring fames, and reading Christian theology, specifically the great theologian G.K. Chesterton. It was in conversations with his friends and in reading this theology that C.S. Lewis gave his life to Christ and never look back. In his book, Mere Christianity, there is a chapter entitled The Shocking Alternative. And in it, he writes about Jesus backing up the claims that he is life, that he is the Son of God. Listen to what Lewis writes. He said, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, that is the Christ, Jesus, that I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God except through me. He says, a man that says those sorts of things would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and call him a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. To claim to be life, Jesus had to back it up. To make that claim and not raise from the dead would make him a liar, and therefore he wouldn't be worthy of being worshiped. Or it would make him a lunatic, and we would call him crazy. But the fact that he beat death, it is proof, as Lewis suggested, that he is Lord. Jesus is life. But secondly, I want you to notice Jesus gives life. Now, when we use this word life, we mean it in a variety of ways. We could say that Jesus gives physical life. We're looking at what Jesus says about certain topics in this series. And our very last week is going to be an 8-week series. In week 8, we're going to talk about Jesus on Jesus. What did Jesus say about himself? Because some people say Jesus never claimed to be God, but that's just not true. He claimed to be God over and over again. And we're going to look in that last week about who Jesus said he was, where he had come from, what mission he was sent to accomplish. We know that Jesus was God. And as God, he was present at the creation of the world when everything was being made. John presents this in the opening chapters of the very first, opening verses of the very first chapter of his book. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. That's another title for Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Look at this. All things, including me and you, were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Paul would look at these verses and studying them. He wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by him, by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Jesus gives you physical life. You literally would not be here if it wasn't for Jesus. And listen, he cares about your physical life. He cares about whether or not the fact that you have food on the table to eat. He cares whether or not you have clothes to put on. We're going to talk next week about Jesus on anxiety. I hope you'll come back. So many people dealing with anxiety and stress and worry. And Jesus is going to say that he cares about you. That's what we're going to see, that when you're going through a tough time that's robbing you of peace and mind, Jesus cares. He gives you physical life, but Jesus also gives spiritual life. Did you know you can be here today, sitting down in this room or watching online, you can be right where you are and be physically alive? I mean, your heart is beating. Your lungs are taking in oxygen. You are experiencing things that only those who are physically alive can experience and see and hear and feel. You can be physically alive, did you know this? But spiritually dead. Jesus teaches that those who are not in a personal relationship with him, that don't know him personally, are dead spiritually. And Jesus is the only one that can give you spiritual life. There are multiple occasions in Jesus' ministry when he would say something or he would do something that would really upset the religious leaders. They followed the Mosaic law. They knew it backwards and forwards. And Jesus would at times do something that would just push them to their limits, and they really couldn't handle it. On one occasion, Jesus heals a man who had been paralyzed for 38 years. He'd never been able to walk, and Jesus heals him on the Sabbath day where there was not supposed to be any work done, and the religious leaders lose their mind. How can this man who say he's from God be working on the Sabbath? And Jesus, in a conversation with them, tells them this in John chapter 5. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise." Verse 21, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life," he's talking about spiritual life there, "so also the Son gives life to whom he will." To have spiritual life means that you can see spiritually. To have spiritual life means that you understand spiritual matters. Having spiritual life means that your sins have been forgiven, that you've been restored to a right relationship with your Creator. This is what Jesus meant when he said in John chapter 10, verse 10, the second part, that "I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly." Abundance is the quality of life. It's experiencing the most out of life. It only happens when you have spiritual life, abundance of life. It's a life of joy. It's a life where guilt doesn't plague you and rob you of sleep at night. It's a life where the circumstances that you're going through don't rule over you. It's a life where you experience purpose and meaning. Does this describe you? If not, I want to ask today, are you sure you have spiritual life? This is a question that you must answer. Non-answers will not do. You know non-answers, don't you? Our kids give us these non-answers all the time. "Did you clean your room today?" "Well, I've been upstairs all morning." Non-answer. Doesn't fly. "Did you do your homework?" "Well, it's not due till Thursday." Non-answer. Go do your homework. "Did you lock your sister in the closet and turn the light off?" "Sir, what?" That's a non-answer. This is one question that you have to answer. Non-answers will not do. You either have spiritual life or you don't. And I'm telling you how you answer this question, the result, if you do not have spiritual life, can be catastrophic. And I do not use that word lightly. All of us saw this week, we've been seeing it on the news nearly every day up in Baltimore, where this large cargo ship, you'll see video of it playing on the screens. This cargo ship, the size of 3 football fields, loses power and as a result, crashes right into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. 6 people lost their lives, and as you can see in this picture, the entire bridge was destroyed. Listen, when you don't have spiritual life, when Jesus, the Lord of life, is not living in your life, you're like a powerless cargo ship. There's no controlling your steering. You're directionless, and you do damage to yourself and to others. That's the inevitable result, and all you have to do is look around to see the brokenness all around us. Jesus gives life. He gives physical life. He gives spiritual life. And the reason that spiritual life is so important is because when he gives you spiritual life, he gives with it eternal life. This series, Jesus on. Today's message, Jesus on life. Let me just, in closing, read you 3 passages of Scripture. These words are from Jesus himself, and let him speak for himself about eternal life that he gives. John chapter 3, verse 36. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. God's wrath remains on the person who doesn't have spiritual life because that person is choosing to live in their sin. And it's sin is what separates us from God. The Bible says all of us have sinned, every single one of us. You don't need a preacher to tell you that. You know that you've thought impure thoughts. We've all had impure motives. We've done things that don't honor God. All of us are sinners, and the Bible says because of sin, the wages of sin or the consequences of sin is separation from God. It is death. This is the wrath of God. It's not just that we will die a physical death. Every single one of us are going to die a physical death. But if we die in our sins, if we were never made spiritually alive on this side of eternity, never asking the Lord of life to live in our life, we will die and experience the consequences of God's wrath forever. But if we believe, Jesus said, if we believe, not just with our head, but with our heart, if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Lord of life, and we by faith receive him into our life, he gives us spiritual life and along with it, eternal life. Jesus would speak in John chapter 10, and he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Look at this. I give them eternal life. Eternal life is a gift from God. There's nothing that you could do to deserve it or earn it. He gives it to you. And notice, those whom he gives eternal life, they will never perish, Jesus says. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Notice, to have eternal life is to never perish. It's to live forever. And this is the beauty of Easter. This is the glory of the resurrection, because in Jesus and because of Jesus, we too, like him, can live forever. All you have to do is believe and receive him into your life. Probably the most well-known scripture in all of the Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16, the last passage that we'll look at, Jesus said this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You can just put your name where that word world is. God so loves you, put your name there. If you were the only person living, Jesus would have came and he would have died for you. That's how great his love is for you. For God so loved the world, he so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever, black, white, rich, poor, young, old, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Jesus is life. Jesus gives life. Here's the question every single one of us must answer before we leave here today. Have you given Jesus your life? This is how it works. You want spiritual life, you want real life, you want eternal life. You come to Jesus in humility. You turn from your sins. And you follow Jesus by faith, receiving him into your life, and he will change you and he will transform you forever. You can leave here today knowing that you have eternal life. Would you bow your head in prayer with me right now? Every head bowed across this room. I want to ask each person here to honor the sacredness of this moment. And if you're a Christian, I would like to ask you to just be praying. When you walked in today, you might not know who's sitting in front of you or behind you or to your left or to your right. And I want you right now to be praying for them, because there are no doubt people who walked into this room today and after hearing this message, you know you don't have spiritual life. Oh, you have physical life. You're here today. But your life is like that powerless cargo ship. You have no power in you. Jesus isn't living in you. He hasn't infused you with his life. You've never believed by faith that Jesus is the Son of God. You've never asked him to come into your heart and take control and be your Lord and Savior. And if you want to do that, I want to ask you in this moment to pray a prayer with me. We say receiving Jesus around here, it's as simple as your ABCs. A, you have to admit that you're a sinner. You can do that. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. None of us are perfect and lived a holy life. B, believe. Again, this isn't mental assent. This is God, I'm giving you my heart. I believe from the heart that you died for me and that you were raised to life. And then C is a confession. The Bible says with the heart we believe and with the mouth we confess. And so it's a prayer of faith, acknowledging our need for God and asking him to be the Lord of our life. If you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you've never been restored to a right relationship with your Creator, didn't even know what it meant until today, I want to ask you to pray a prayer with me. And if that's you, with heads bowed, I've put a prayer on the screen for all of those who want to receive Jesus into their life today. They want life. And I want you to just say this prayer in your own heart. Now, these words are not magical. These words are not mystical. There are no words that can save you. What saves you is God sees the posture of your heart. He sees the humility of your heart. He sees your faith. That's what saves you. But there are many here today that don't even know where to start. And so I give you this prayer, and I want you to pray it in your heart. Just tell him, Jesus, I believe that you are the Lord of life. And I ask you today to forgive my sin. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you were buried and raised to life, and that you can give me life. I ask you to come into my heart and live in me. I trust you with and for my salvation. Just pray it into your heart, your own words. And if you said it, say, thank you, Jesus, for giving me life. And help me to live every single day. Help me to live my life for you. Thank you. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, it's the greatest decision that you're ever going to make. You made the right choice. And what I'm going to do in just a moment is ask you to take it one step further. And it's going to take a bold step of faith, because what I'm going to do is pray. And when I'm done praying, if you prayed that prayer with me to receive Christ for the very first time, you asked him into your life. We do this at all of our Easter services. We've seen scores of people do this, and I'm going to ask you to join. And if you prayed that prayer with me for the very first time, right after I say amen, I'm going to count to three, and I'm just going to ask you to stand. And what we're going to see as we do every service, you're going to see people stand all over this room, people who have asked Jesus to be the Lord of their life. And so I want to pray for you. I'm going to ask God to give you the courage to stand. And the reason we do this is because this is a celebration time. The Bible pictures heaven like a big party, and we're joining in on that party. If you receive life today, it is your spiritual birthday. And so we're throwing you a birthday party right now. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this message today, that you are life and that you give life. And God, I believe many people across this room prayed with me this prayer of salvation, asking you to be the Lord of their life. And I pray in this moment, God, that you'd give them the courage to stand, make their decision known, so that we can celebrate and rejoice with what you're doing in this place and in their heart and life today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.